I was talking to my sister. She lives in England. And I said, what are you going to do for Mother's Day? You know, it's Mother's Day. She says, no, it's not. It's not Mother's Day. And it's not. It's not Mother's Day in England. They don't have Mother's Day, or they call it Mothering Sunday, until May the 27th. And so I said, well, that's strange. How come their Mothering Day is in England and Mother's Day is here? And then when you do a little bit of the research, you find out that actually the whole concept of a Mothering Day did start back in the UK. It started when, back in literally the Middle Ages, when children, okay, who had left their families to go and work in domestic service were allowed to go to their home or to their mother church for a Sunday once a year. And they would journey home and it became a springtime occasion for families to reunite. And it eventually adopted a custom of the children picking flowers, and they would, on their way home, as gifts to their mothers. You know, now, of course, today we give flowers to our moms, or some do, on Mother's Day. And it kept on going, and so this asks the question, well, how did we get a Mother's Day? If the British started it so many years ago, and it actually started in the United States. It started with this lady by the name of Julia Ward Howe. And she is best known for writing a hymn that we all know probably very well. She wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic. But her mission at the time, apart from many other things, was to try and get a Mother's Day recognized in the United States. And she even wrote a proclamation called the Mother's Day Proclamation. And in that, she urged women to come together to support peace. To support peace. And it was because many, and this was around 1870, because there were many who were losing their husbands. And sons at war. And she wanted peace. She wanted to bring peace. She even had 6 children. She wrote many essays. She had many rallies. And she wrote this proclamation. And the proclamation starts out, and I won't read the whole proclamation. It starts out, it says, arise, all you women who have hearts. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether you're baptized or whether your baptism be that of water or your baptism be that of tears. But that was not what brought us to Mother's Day. It wasn't until 1907 that Anna Jarvis from Philadelphia also picked up this proclamation and this mission to recognize mothers officially. And it wasn't until 1914, after a lot of work on her part and many other women, that President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed it a national holiday. And it became a national holiday, not just in the United States, but in many other countries around the world, to follow that example. So interestingly enough, this Mother's Day is not a feast day that is proclaimed in the Bible, but it is a day of importance. Even though we've recognized it to be a different day, the purpose of it, of course, is to honor our parents and mothers. Can you think of some famous moms? How about Harriet Tubman? Oh, how about Cleopatra? There's one. Okay, we can think of a few others. Queen Victoria, she was an amazing mom, actually, after Prince Albert died, but she raised an amazing family. Audrey Hepburn, I looked at this up and I said, how, Audrey Hepburn? Audrey Hepburn, I know she was an actress, but she was also a real proclaimer of peace and philanthropy. Princess Diana, we all know, Marie Curie, Catherine of Aragon. And now, interestingly enough, if you Google it, Michelle Obama becomes one of the top 10 mothers recognized in the world. and for very good reason, too. I looked up some quotes about moms. And you have the comedians and you have the, many others who have things. Say, Irma Bombeck, she says, when your mother asks, do you want a piece of advice? It's just a mere formality, because it doesn't matter if you answer yes or no. You're going to get it anyway. And I'm sure we all have experienced that, right? In fact, sometimes it's, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. You don't even have to ask, okay? Billy Graham, a serious note, he says, only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children. That is very true, all right? The mother has a huge impact on the character of her children, especially those who've grown up in Christian families. There's this other one. It didn't say who wrote it. It says, being a mom, and I can appreciate this even with my wife. This happens in our house too. She says, being a mom means never buying the right amount of produce. Either everyone suddenly loves grapes and a week's worth are eaten in one afternoon, or the fruit flies are congregating around the rotten bananas. Okay. And it's so true. My wife goes out and she shops for food every week. And there are some days where the bananas are amazing and I'm having them with cereal every morning. And then there's other times where the five bananas end up in banana bread 4 days later because they've never been eaten. And this is a mother's challenge, right, is to balance the produce. A more serious note. Lisa Turkers said, motherhood is a million little moments that God weaves together with grace, redemption, laughter, tears, and most of all, love. The last one, Jen Wilkin, the Christian mom does not love or doesn't love Jesus instead of loving her children. She loves Jesus by loving her children. And I thought that was a great testament. Now, what about the Bible? How about some moms in the Bible? The first one is interesting. And I didn't really recognize this until it was brought to my attention. Who is the mother of us all? Eve. You're right. Interestingly enough, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, it says, the mother of us all, Adam named his wife Eve. It isn't until we get to Genesis 3, verse 20, that Eve is actually given a name. And that name in Hebrew is Hawa. And Hawa means life. So Eve's name is the giver of life, interestingly enough. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. And she is, and was. We have Sarah, the mother who waited for Isaac. She was so patient in her late years. We have Jochebed, the mother of guess who? Moses. We have Naomi, and if you're studying the book of Ruth recently, she's the mother-in-law who shared her faith with Ruth. And Hannah, the mother who kept her promises to Samuel. And Elizabeth. I think Elizabeth, when we read it in the New Testament, she, of course, was the mother of John the Baptist, and she believed in miracles. And, of course, the mother who we all know the most is the blessed mother among women, and that is Mary. You see, mothers love us. It's in their nature. It's something that has been given to mothers that I fully, as a person, as a man, I don't have this innate love that a mother has. With their words and with their actions and their unconditional love, mothers have a tremendous influence on their families and on their children. Our mothers, of course, give us life. They nurture us. They support us as we grow from babies into adults. They teach us. They care for us. They give us advice. As we saw earlier, sometimes we don't want it, but we get it. Okay? And often they provide this sort of motherly presence for many others in their lives as well. They never forget, and they always forgive. You know, God is very, very specific on how we are to love our mothers. In Exodus chapter 20, the fifth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother so that they may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Today and all days, we are to recognize and honor our mothers. We're to recognize the risk they took to carry us, nourish us, protect us. We're to be grateful for their tenderness when we were helpless or hurt. We're to be grateful for their encouragement and wisdom, especially when we were unsure. We're to be grateful for their correction and perseverance, so we would try and stay true. And for those who did this, we are grateful to be grateful for the way our mothers guided us into God's saving embrace. You know, sometimes we take our mother's love and sacrifice for granted. Honoring parents and our mothers is important to God, so important. He repeated it several times throughout his word. But unfortunately, in this day's world, there are children who are seeking their birth parents. And there are children who reject their parents. There are those who run away, and sometimes, hopefully, and we pray that they return. And when they do, they are loved even more. There are those who have an innate way of showing their love, and there are those who don't know how to express it, even though they love their parents. Sometimes it's hard to show our love to our parents. There are those who don't know how much they love their parents until they lose them. You see, all mothers deserve honor, not just those who are listed as the top 10 most famous. Honor. You know, the Apostle Paul, he reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23. He basically repeats the commandment. He says, this is a reminder of a promise, and the promise is that if you honor, this is a command, but you honor your father and mother, this is the first commandment with a promise. Why? So that it may go well with you. It may go well with you. Why will it go well with you? Because your mother has a teaching, a message, a nurturing, a caring that helps you be well. When we look at this word honor, it's a Hebrew word as well that says it's a seriousness. It's an importance. It's a heavy weight of importance. It's an added value to honor your father and your mother. It's a recognition of authority. It is a respect for that person. It's esteem that you deserve to show to your mother. It's the value. It's to prize our mothers as gifts from God. Want to please God? You know, that was one of the things that Paul says, that we should learn how to please God. What's one of the first things he says to do to please God? He says in Colossians chapter 3, 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. You want to show love to God? Here's one of the first ways to please him. In Proverbs 1, verse 18, it says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So when a mother teaches us or guides us or directs us or gives us some wisdom, we are not to forsake that. And then in Matthew 19, Jesus Christ himself says, honor your mother, your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. The fifth commandment, love your mother or honor your father and mother, isn't just for kids. It's for all of us. It's for children, It's for teens. It's for young adults. It's for adults. It's even for us, all adults. It's for everyone. It's a commandment that is for all. And you know, sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes when we're talking with our mothers, we don't agree with something. Sometimes, unfortunately, we even talk back. Or sometimes we don't talk at all. We go silent. Or we badmouth. Or even in their age, as they get older, we do take care of them, but we sort of do so grudgingly. And when we do these things, and I'm not saying we do them all the time, but we do. I'm guilty of doing probably every one of those things at one time. But every time we do that, we sin. Every time we do that, we sin because we're not honoring our father and mother. And when we do that, we sin. It says in Proverbs 23, verse 22, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old." It becomes an interesting situation when we get to this point where our parents get older, and especially if they're not believers. We want them to be believers. We pray for them to be believers. We want them to know the truth that we have. And it becomes difficult for us sometimes when we're, especially maybe with your mothers or whatever, to be respectful and honor them, and yet at the same time, want them to become part of the family of God and have eternal life. It's out of our love that we want them to be that way, but we have to be very careful in how we do it. But it's essential, because we want our mothers, of course, to be with us in the future. See, we're not perfect. We're not perfect children, but our utmost desire should always be to honor our parents. You know, sometimes we all fail in some aspect of obeying this command. And sometimes we all have deep regrets when deep down we know that we've not honored our mother and know we had the opportunity to do so, but we didn't. You know, we are not perfect children. But there is one perfect child. And that perfect child is Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid the penalty for our breaking the fifth commandment. He paid the penalty as much for that as he did for any other sin that we have committed. But Jesus has done more than that. He has also kept the fifth commandment on our behalf. It was not enough for Jesus just to pay the price for sin. He also had to offer God the obedience that his law demands. And Christ did exactly that. As Jesus honored his mother right to the very end of his life. He was not able personally to care for his mom in her old age, but he provided for her in his dying moments. By asking his friend, John, to be like a son to her, which means he passed on this requirement to honor Mary as if she were his mom. In John 19, verse 25, it says, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from that time on, this disciple, John, took her into his home." It also means that from that point on, John honored Mary as his mom. You see, this law of honoring your mother is a law of love. It's a law of love. But I'd like to take a moment to bring some reality into this day as well. You know, this day is full of joy and celebration. It's full of flowers and maybe special meals and cards and everything for many. But it can also be an especially painful day. It can be a day of those who are grieving. And we have that in our church now. For those who are grieving by the loss of their mother or families. Maybe not just in the last few months, maybe it's been in the last few years. But when we come to remember our moms, we don't think of flowers and cards and cakes and meals. We think of other things. We grieve the loss of our moms. Or there are those who may have not lost their mother, but they are separated by distance or by disagreement or abandonment. It can easily become a day of grieving instead of a day of remembrance. It's a day when we should also ask Jesus Christ to pour out his healing, his consolation, his comfort, and his peace. I'd like to just say a prayer for all of us who no longer have our mothers with us in this life. Dear Father God, for those of us who no longer have their mothers in this present life, we ask you to hear us today. Forgive us for the times in the past when we did not give them honor as you have commanded. Help us to remember the wonderful gifts that our loving, sacrificing mothers have given us. Fill our hearts with gratitude for our mothers as we review the special memories of our mothers' lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the other interesting part here is that there is a promise that God gives us. It's a promise that's for now, and it's a promise for the time ahead. It's a promise of comfort, and it's a promise of encouragement. And it's a promise that we can really understand when we understand who mothers are and what they have done for us and that we honor them. And that promise is in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. It says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." What a tremendous promise that God gives to us, each and every one of us. I'm going to ask all the ladies in this room, all the mothers, girls and women, to please stand. Please stand, if you don't mind. Okay? And for those who might be beside one of those wonderful ladies who's standing, you might want to just put your hand on their shoulder if you have somebody next to you. And we'll say a prayer. Gracious God, thank you for every woman and girl here today and for everyone that you have brought with us in our hearts. Reveal your purpose and plan for their life. Bless them and protect them. Deepen their love and trust of you. Strengthen them, empower them, and anoint them with your Holy Spirit that their faith, their influence and achievement would bring you honor and glory. Receive our thanks and praise again for these women and women in the making, for they are precious to us and to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please sit down. You know, I just want to pause for one moment before we summarize here. We are supremely blessed. We are sitting in a nice, comfortable church. The sun is shining outside. The daffodils are blooming. We'll all go home probably to very nice lunches. But there are mothers who are suffering around the world. And they're not going to make the top 10 famous mothers. But they're losing their husbands They're escaping with their children. They are being ravaged by war. These mothers need our prayers. These mothers are courageous individuals. These mothers are taking their kids out of a country to a place they've never been to before because they are a caring, loving mother. And the honor that they deserve is way above and beyond that we can explain. So this day that was proclaimed or by Julia Ward Howe, and then when Woodrow Wilson established it in 1914, is a day that was proclaimed for peace. It's a day to remind us of love, and it's a day to understand what love is, because a mother's love deserves honor. Mother's love should be proclaimed and honored always, not just today. Great God, Father in heaven, we just thank you very much for life. We thank you that you brought life to this earth and that our mothers, whom we are to honor, and we ask for forgiveness and we confess that we have done not, that we may not have done so, but we confess our sins, but that we ask, God, that our mothers who are in your hands, our mothers who are believers, our mothers who may not have yet understood who you are and what you have done, that you will bless all the mothers, that you will call them, inspire them, and help us to learn how to love them. Because when we love our mothers and honor our mothers, we're showing our love for you. And Father, that's what we really should be doing in all the ways we conduct ourselves. That it's part of worship that we obey you, and that it's part of worship that we honor our mothers. We thank you for them. We praise you, great God. We ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.